Wet, drenched through, and shivering cold, despairing of ship or boat, we lifted our eyes as the dawn came on. The mist still spread over the sea, the empty lantern lay crushed in the bottom of the boat. Suddenly Queequeg started to his feet, hollowing his hand to his ear. We all heard a faint creaking, as of ropes and yards, hitherto muffled by the storm. The sound came nearer and nearer, the thick mists were dimly parted by a huge, vague form. Affrighted, we all sprang into the sea, as the ship at last loomed into view, bearing right down upon us, within a distance not much more than its length. Floating on the waves, we saw the abandoned boat. As for one instant it tossed and gaped beneath the ship's bows like a chip at the base of a cataract. And then the vast hull rolled over it, and it was seen no more till it came up weltering astern. Again we swam for it, were dashed against it by the seas, and were at last taken up and safely landed on board. Ere the squall came close to, the other boats had cut loose from their fish and returned to the ship in good time. The ship had given us up, but was still cruising, if haply it might light upon some token of our perishing, an oar or a lance pole. Chapter 49. The Hyena. There are certain queer times and occasions in this strange mixed affair we call life, when a man takes this whole universe for a vast practical joke, though the wit thereof he but dimly discerns, and more than suspects that the joke is at nobody's expense but his own. However, nothing dispirits and nothing seems worthwhile disputing. He bolts down all events, all creeds and beliefs and persuasions, all hard things visible and invisible, never mind how knobby, as an ostrich of potent digestion gobbles down bullets and gunflints.